Welcome to Betting 360, your number one source for horse racing and sports betting insights. Coming around the bend is your host, David Duffield, with another expert interview to give you the winning edge.
Hi, this is David Duffield, and welcome to another episode of the Betting 360 podcast. Got a tennis betting expert, Dan Weston, on the show this week to talk about the French Open from a betting perspective, looking at some players to back and also some that are probably under their true odds. So let's talk to Dan. G'day, Dan. Thanks for joining us again.
Hi, Dave. Nice to speak to you again.
Good to speak to you, and not even a little visit to the hospital this week could keep you away from the podcast.
Definitely not. One day off and that was enough for me.
Excellent. All right, well, we wanted to talk about the French Open, obviously, and I know you do some work with Pinnacle, so we've got a bit of background there, but we'll start with the men's side of things, and Nadal's always the focus there, but Djokovic is the in-form player. How do you see it?
It's a tough one, really, because this is definitely one of the most interesting French Opens, potentially in a decade. Obviously, you've got the historical record of Nadal and the form of Djokovic, and to some people's perceptions, a lack of form of Nadal. And it's kind of, well, for me, it's more balanced, but a lot of people are making Djokovic a very heavy favourite at the moment. So there's definitely an interesting dynamic that's very different to previous years.
And so with Djokovic, what is he? Somewhere around about $1.60 at the moment. How do you see his form? Because obviously he's had plenty of wins already this year, and then again, relative to that price, would you want to be on him or opposing him at that price?
I can't take Djokovic at that price. Basically, look, before Rome, he was 1.9, and obviously he's moved in 30 ticks since Rome. It just seems too short for me. Everyone's obviously reacting to his form, which is, you know, it's relatively logical in a lot of ways, but I'm someone who doesn't react a lot on form and the short-term effects of it. And I'd rather look at something over like a longer period, like 6 months or 12 months, because players do have variance. Players do lose key points, and players go through peaks and troughs, and it's not an absolute measure for sure form. And like, obviously Djokovic is a major, major, major player, but I have it a lot more even than for these two. Maybe you could give Djokovic a slight edge on form, but definitely not like a $1.60 price, no way.
So just tell us about Nadal this year, because a few people are quick to write him off, but you say that maybe that's a little bit hasty.
Yeah, I think that's the nature of social media, etc., quite a lot, is that people have a very short-termist view and are quick to write players off, and conversely boost them up if they're in form as well. And that's something that I try to avoid, like I just said. Nadal, he's lost matches that he should have won. There's absolutely no doubt about that, and I can highlight four of them immediately for you. So you've got two defeats against Fognini, one in semifinals of Rio, one in Barcelona. The first one against Fognini in Rio, he had the same amount of break points as Fognini and lost, which is obviously fairly negative variance, but that's nothing compared to the one in Barcelona, where he actually had 14 break points to Fognini's 8. And still lost in straight sets, which is, just never happens. It just doesn't happen. Against Raonic in the March Masters event, he was trading at 1.01, and if I recall correctly, he was only broken once by Raonic, which is something I want to get onto later when we discuss the Canadian. Again, he was a very, very low negative variance defeat for Nadal, and then we've got the one in by Verdasco as well last month. And that's, again, he had more break points than Verdasco and lost the match. And these things just don't happen on a regular basis for the same player. And actually, Nadal this season, he's created more break point opportunities than last year, but he's not taking the key points. He's not winning the key points. And again, that was illustrated against Wawrinka last week, where he was 6-2 up in the tiebreak in the first set and lost 9-7. And he lost a break lead twice in the first set as well. So Nadal's not playing the key points well, but over five sets, he's going to be a fitter player than most. And I do think that he needs to be respected at pretty much even level to Djokovic, really.
So Djokovic around $1.60, Nadal $4.80. You're saying they should be a lot closer together?
Yeah, very much so, yeah.
All right.
And also, that's even without discussing the venue record of Nadal as well. I mean, this guy's borderline unbeatable at Roland Garros. He's lost one match in his career against Robin Söderling, and he's 66 out of 67 wins. 66 wins out of 67 matches. That's just unparalleled in any tennis tournament of all time.
And you, okay, so you make a good case for Nadal there, and it's seems to be a lot closer in the market. As we've called it the Elite Three, and there's a relatively unknown or lesser known player amongst what you'd call the Elite Three. Do you want to tell us about Nishikori?
Yeah, sure. I mean, looking at the whole break stats for clay in the last 18 months, there's a kind of a three-player tier at the top. So overall, adding them together, before Rome tournament, I have the stats, it was 124.5% combined for Nadal, 122.8% for Djokovic, and then Nishikori at 120% exactly. And that's quite a bit more than the bracket below them of Ferrer, Murray and Federer. And Nishikori is just, he's just a great player, and people are really starting to realise this now. And he's got a great record also when he's underdog, so he's not overawed against the top elite players either. So he's actually broken 36% on clay in the last 18 months and held almost 84%. Those are elite level stats, and he has to be respected in the draw. And one thing's for sure, Djokovic or Federer or Murray, who are going to probably be the top three seeds, they're not going to want to have him in their part of the draw. There's absolutely no doubt about that.
Okay, so speaking of Andy Murray, where does he sit amongst those three that we've already talked about?
Well, he's third favourite. Over the last 18 months on clay, I have him in fifth place on his stats. So nine looks a tad short, and again, probably like Djokovic, a bit of an overreaction on his form. He's been, you know, his clay results this year are unparalleled, and I think that's something that he doesn't usually thrive on clay. So there was a surprise to me. He's taken a Masters event, which is very, very unlikely, probably prior to the season starting. But he's only held 80.7% on clay in the last 18 months, broken 34%. So you can see he's about 5% below even Nishikori, who's actually available at a slightly bigger price. So I couldn't have Murray at the moment, and obviously from the UK as well, we've probably got quite a bit of patriotic money going on him too. So I'd take Nishikori over Murray prior to the draw, for sure.
And what about Roger Federer?
I can't have him in five set events. For me, against the top players, he's going to struggle fitness-wise. So even against the likes of Nishikori, who's got a really great record in long matches, I think he'd struggle in a fourth and fifth set. As Federer's kind of matured, shall we say, his stats have gone more towards a serve-orientated style. So he's holding around 89% on clay in the last 18 months, breaking 25%, which is quite the biggest difference, apart from Raonic, in the top 10 between the hold and break percentages. So this indicates someone who's very serve-orientated. And these players also tend to thrive less in Grand Slams because they are reliant on winning key points, tie breaks, one break sets, etc. By definition, obviously, as well, they're going to be playing longer matches because they're going to be winning sets 6-4, 7-5, 7-6 type sets, playing more games in a set than someone who's winning by a double break, for example. And fatigue will creep in quicker, and obviously he's the oldest player out of the top players as well, so these aren't beneficial to him at all. And that's without even discussing the fact that clay's probably not his best surface. There's no probably about it. It's not his best surface.
Would it also surprise you if Ferrer won?
Ferrer, good outsider, and I'm interested to see his draw for sure. If he can have a half decent draw, I think that he's definitely got some potential. And I'd be interested to see if he could maybe nick a spot in Federer's quarter or even Murray's. That would be a good draw for him. And I think he's definitely capable of beating either of those, especially in a long match, because obviously we know that Ferrer, his fitness is one of his major assets. He has a slight issue, I would say, against the real elite players. So he won't be wanting to play against Nadal or Djokovic. He's got an awful record against those sort of type players.
And you briefly touched on Milos Raonic before. How do you assess his chances?
I can't have him. Again, he breaks less than 20% on clay in the last 18 months. And those stats are just not going to get the job done in Grand Slams, which is why I've got reservations long-term about Kyrgios in Grand Slams as well, because you just don't see players who break less than 20% of the time win Slams. Even Andy Roddick, I think he won one Slam and he was just over 20%. These players just don't do it in Grand Slams when it's best of five sets. Raonic, also, he has a really woeful stat where he breaks less than 6% of the time against top 10 players in the last couple of years. And he just won't win enough tiebreaks to get those to get the results against top players. And I can see him maybe getting to the quarterfinals. You know, he might routine against poor players, but against someone good, he's going to fall short, I think.
That's not good to hear about Kyrgios. There's plenty of hype for him down under,
I'm sure.
That's all right. Like your honesty. And so what about Thomas Burdick? Is he one of the lesser ranked players of the top 10 that might be a chance?
He's in reasonable form. He's got a better break percentage than the likes of Federer and Raonic. Again, a bit like Ferrer, I have reservations against decent players for Burdick. He has a pretty poor head-to-head record against most of them. And I think that, like Ferrer, he's going to be looking to get to the quarterfinals and hope that it opens up for him, really. Against the top player in the quarterfinals or semifinals, I can't see him making a major impact. But he should be a staple around the sort of second week of Grand Slams, and if the draw opens up for him, why not? It gets to the semi-finals at least. But he'd need to try and swerve the likes of Nadal, Djokovic, probably even Federer, because I don't think that matchup wise it's that good for Burdick against Federer.
All right. Is there any other player outside of the top 10 that you'd want to mention as one that you want to keep your eye on?
Well, when I'm looking at long shots, I'm going to be looking at players who have got a good record on the surface, as in their hold percentage and break percentage, and also their record against top players and as a heavy underdog. And if we can find players in conjunction who with both of those assets, then that's something that we're going to be looking at from an outright perspective. So three players I highlighted for Pinnacle was Bautista Agut, Fognini and Kyrgios, because all of those three players have got hold break percentages over 100%, and in Kyrgios and Bautista's case, quite a bit over. Kyrgios is about 105%, Bautista getting on towards 110%. So they're statistically as good probably as some of the lower players in the top 10, the likes of Wawrinka, Cilic, etc., and not far off those sort of levels, and they've got an excellent record as underdogs against top 10 players as well. So they're the ones that I think could cause a shock. Fognini, his hold percentage and break percentage are not as good as Bautista Agut, Kyrgios, but this is a guy who can play against top players and beat them. We've seen, like I said, he beat Nadal twice this year. He beat Murray in last year as well. So he doesn't have any fear against the top players at all, and I think that those are the players who I'd look at to cause a shock, as opposed to like the likes of Wawrinka and Cilic, who I just can't have at all. Cilic in particular hasn't looked fit since his injury. And Wawrinka, he's obviously got the personal problems that have been well documented, social media. But his stats aren't great, and he's just too inconsistent for me. And the odds Wawrinka's at currently, which I think make him about sixth favourite, I just can't have him either. So I'll be looking at that trio of Bautista, Agut, Fognini and Kyrgios is a long shot. The likes of Dimitrov, Gasquet, they've got half-decent stats on the surface, but they just don't have a good record against top players. And that makes me difficult. It makes it difficult for me to want to back them against the top 10 player, really. So you'd want to see their draw before you really commit to someone like that.
Fair enough. So we'll switch to the women's side then. Serena Williams is around about $3.70 at the moment. At that price, would you want to be backing her or laying her?
I would take Williams at that price over Halep and Sharapova, who are probably going to be a slightly bigger price. But Williams is still the most dominant player on tour. There's absolutely no doubt about that. She boasts a 4.4% edge over Halep on combined hold and break clay stats, and about 9% on Sharapova. And for me, they more than justify her price, and I thought maybe she might be at three or shorter, maybe even. So for me, Williams is still the clear favourite.
And you mentioned Simona Halep there. So she's second favourite at around $5.30 with Sharapova. So based on, I know you don't like to read too much into it, but based on that head-to-head record, it has you fairly wary for Halep's chances?
I mean, Halep, head-to-head record, I can clarify that a little bit more. I don't read a lot into the 1-0s, 2-0s, 2-1s, but when it starts to become a lot more dominant and it's more recent, then I do have a problem with it. And that's a big problem that I have with Halep. I think she's 10-1 or I think similar to combined against, so 1-10, I should say, against Williams and Sharapova. And that is a big problem for me. A really, really big problem, because you can't have any faith in her against those opponents when they've routinely beat her. So the only way I can really see Halep win it is if she could, the draw could open up for her if those players got eliminated by somebody else. I'd probably take her more over Sharapova than I would Williams, because Sharapova's matches against Halep have been close, and she's lost a lot of key points, Halep, to lose those matches. Whereas apart from the match in the tour finals last year, I haven't really been impressed with her against Williams. So if Halep ended up playing Sharapova as opposed to Williams, maybe in a final, I would give her more chance than against Williams.
Okay. What about Petkovic and Wozniacki?
I've got reservations against top players again. Wozniacki, I never really rated that highly on clay, but she's really broken through this year. So I don't know if she's made some adjustments to her game or whether she's just kind of benefited from some positive variance. I don't know, but stats-wise, they're both of them are quite a bit off the top three, and Petkovic in particular. Well, she got injured on Monday anyway, so for me that's a big question mark over her. Many of your listeners know she retired 5-0 down in the first set against Putintseva, which is some insult to start with, because I don't rate Putintseva at all. So Petkovic would be a big worry with injury. Wozniacki against top players, and the fact that she's not had a great career on clay, that should be quite a bit back for me.
Is there an outsider with a chance that you'd like to keep an eye on?
Yeah, definitely. There's a few outside the top 10 I like. I like Azarenka, but so she's not really an outsider, but from a ranking perspective, she is. Her stats are decent on clay, and probably against Williams, she's probably boasts a better record against Williams than anybody. And it's not a great record by any stretch of the imagination, but no one really has a great record against Williams. Out of the other players, Muguruza, I think she has a lot of upside. She's very solid on serve and has decent stats overall. And obviously she's quite young, so she's going to have potential to improve. Apart from that, it's going to be a tough one. Maybe you'd look at a couple of the big servers like Keys and Pliskova to try and produce something from a big price. But I think overall they'd fall short in the sort of, they were to get to, say, a semi-final. So I know that the women's tournament overall has got a history of more upsets and sort of shock finalists than others. But it's tough to see something like that happen unless the draw really opens up. Maybe again another strong server like Safarova, but she's not been in great form recently. So that's I'll be looking at someone like that as opposed to someone like Irani, who's gonna have a weak serve and a strong return, who has got to the final before, but doesn't seem to be quite at that level before that she was a couple of years ago.
Right, okay. Well, we'll leave it there for now for the French Open. I just have one other question, though, because we may not speak to you before Wimbledon. Is there a standout right now, either men's or women's, that you'd be keen to maybe not back yourself, but if the guys are having a bet already this far out on Wimbledon, are there a couple of players that stand out?
It's a tough one, really, because Wimbledon, obviously, no one's played any matches on grass this year, so it's hard to gauge that from like a warm-up matches perspective. I think that it's probably Djokovic's weakest surface, and therefore, if he's under that sort of like 1.8, 1.9 price, he could probably be taken on. Murray probably will fancy his chances more against Djokovic on grass than any other surface. So I'd be keen to see his price. Federer, again, grass is his best price, but like we said earlier, we have reservations in five sets. Maybe someone like Burdick could cause an impact. And also, if there's going to be one service Kyrgios will threaten on, I think that grass will probably be it, as opposed to something like a hard court surface. But I think that he's going to fall short. But yeah, maybe he'll get to quarterfinals or even a semifinals as a long shot. On the women's side of things, this is the tournament I'd be really keen to see a big server push through. So someone like Madison Keys, it wouldn't be a huge shock to see her get to the latter stages. So I'll be interested to see what sort of price she opens at, because she's been in decent form and her serve is really, really improving, and she's going to be tough to break on grass. And I think, if I recall correctly, she won an event last year on grass. So she'd be someone I'd look at from an outsider perspective on grass, definitely.
Sounds good. Well, we'll leave it there for now. We'll make sure we link out to your site as well, because although we can't do a lot in play, there's plenty of good information on your site. So really appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on the show.
Cheers, Dave. Appreciate that. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to Betting 360. Get more in-depth analysis, tips, and that betting edge by heading over to championpicks.com.au, where you'll find a full transcript of this episode. If you like the show, share us with a fellow punter or drop by iTunes to leave us your thoughts. Betting 360, punting from all angles.